illness of Rolly Russo, who now has the complication of mononucleosis and hepatitis.
Oh, my God.
And extremely ill. So this has thrown us into a very definite dilemma the last few days, and thus I am pinch hitting here today, and we'll pick it up in that direction. The gentlemen were here this morning to speak on the two bills. We're quite surprised at the reception they received on 92 at that time. We weren't aware this was going to be brought up, and we're looking at this particular hearing. So the services will be taken over by Bob Holloway, who many of you have known in the past. Bob has been pulled out of retirement in a hurry and has been briefing himself all day on legislative matters, and will be doing our coordination, then we'll be testifying here in various bits and pieces from here on out. But we're going to miss the services of Wally Russo. I'm sure he'll be ill for some time.
It's too bad.
We intended to have a statement prepared to hand out. It did not get ready. We also have the problem that our office is in a moving truck between Alder Street and Mill Street, and we can't. We had one typewriter in the whole department available today to us, so, and no mag cards or Xeroxing or anything else. So we've been in quite a dilemma up there. We are moving from one facility to the next. We should be in there over the remainder of this week and in the first of next. I think I'll forego reading our testimony we prepared on this bill that was presented in the Senate. I'm ready to say that we are supportive of the compact. I think this goes without saying. We've said this on many occasions and many times before, and our reasons are that Idaho is a major contributor to the fisheries resource of the Columbia River, and we feel very strongly that they need a position on that. The bill clearly specifies their role in the compact and where they will vote and not vote. It's ironic, indeed, that Idaho is a member of the Regional Council, which says they have a role in the say of the management from 3 miles to 200 nautical miles, nothing inside. And as you're, of course, well aware, Idaho has.
Would you, Mr. Chairman?
It's Representative Jones.
Would you repeat that again?
Representative Jones, the Fisheries Conservation and Management Act of 1976, which establishes the 200-mile jurisdiction of the United States along our coastal waters, has a Pacific Council of which the states of Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and California are voting members, along with, I think there are 13 voting members on this council. This council sets the regulations that are then recommends to the Secretary of Commerce for implementation the regulations relative to ocean management. Idaho is a voting member of that council.
Does it have anything to do with the fishery and the Columbia River, though?
No. No, it can vote on what happens outside in the ocean, but not inside in the river. And we feel that this is an important part of the total management picture of the Columbia River, that we need to speak with a common voice on the Columbia. And I recognize the long-standing fight between the commercial and sports interests. I sincerely hope that in the very near future, we can come to an agreement among these user groups and quit this bickering. It's gone on all too long. We have accomplished a very major feat in our agreement with the treaty tribes, and this is working very well. Extremely pleased with how this has worked during the spring season. We hope to have accomplished a balance of that catch. Today the compact allowed the extending of the commercial gillnet season in the lower river to the full 5 days, which run from the 8th to the 13th. This is to balance out that catch to get to our 60-40 percentage relationships. The Indians will actually come up with about 42%, and the remainder, 58, will go to the non-treaty, of which the majority of those went to the sports fishermen. The escapement into Idaho is exceptionally good this year. We will have a run up there for spawning. However, you are aware that the state of Idaho has a suit pending, which I'm sure they will instigate, especially if the failure of the compact bill is taken on, and to sue for their share of those fish. What I'm hoping, and I spoke to this group on one or two occasions, and I've spoken to the user groups, and they are in agreement, as is most of our commission, that we get together very soon now, and we're setting into motion a meeting among the non-Indians, for lack of a better term, to allocate the fisheries of the Columbia River among them. So we do not have these constant fights going on.
Mr. Chairman.
If they don't. I'd ask a question there as we go along. I guess what we're really dealing with is how many escapes, how many goes on up to Tucson. So Idaho has a vote in the hand in setting that number. Then after that, and that come up today when you weren't here, they wouldn't have a vote then as to whether or when the commercial season was set for the Columbia River between Oregon and Washington. If they did have a vote, then it was quite visible today that if they had voted with the Commission of Oregon, then there wouldn't have been a commercial season, as it's on right now, isn't it? Or was open to
Well, the Commission did vote for a commercial season on the 5th when they entertained this issue, along with the state of Washington.
Yeah,
there was great debate.
The earlier one I'm referring to, I believe,
The one set in on the Willamette River on the winter fisheries, Idaho has nothing to do with.
Well, wasn't there? Didn't they? If I might continue just a little.
Yes, Representative.
Talk about one around the 1st of May or the 2nd of May that.
No, we had the compact meeting set the season on the 5th of May.
But it didn't start then. Did it?
No, it started the 8th. The season was set for the 8th. It was recommended to begin the 8th run for 5 days. The season was set, and there was a part of that motion to recommend, to take the staff recommendation for a 5-day season from the 8th to the 13th, was that we would review that season on the 10th, which was the day at 2 o'clock. And the compact held the phone conference and agreed to go with the full 5-day recommendation. The 5 days were set. The meeting today was merely to review the progress of the catch and the dam counts to see how the run is developing. The catch is quite small, and the dam counts are holding up. So we have escapement into Idaho already. The fish are there in adequate numbers. In fact, it's one of the best escapements we've had in years. So it's been a matter of either we cut off the, and we'd already closed the Indian fishery. If we did not extend the Gillnet fishery for a few days, we would not have taken the non-Indian share of the allotment based on the Columbia River Agreement. We would be short considerably. Those fish would, of course, pass on up into the various tributaries and become part of the escapement, but we have adequate escapement already. Now, Idaho would have been a voting member of those season settings because those are fish destined to go into to Idaho waters. But as far as being a voting member on the seasons and the fisheries of the lower Columbia River, no, they would not be.
Mr. Chairman, that's my point there is that who decides when you decide that there's enough already gone by and let the commercial people in face the balance. Of course, you know where they're not going to get them all, and there'll still be some going up. But do you and Washington decide that amount?
The staffs meet jointly and review the data on the river, their test fishing, the development of the sport catch, the Indian catch, and if there's a commercial catch, and of course the Bonneville Dam count. And the dam count at all the dams on up the river up to Lower Granite, which is the upper dam on the Snake, before going into the Salmon. And it's the progression of those counts, the passage conditions, a variety of considerations that develop the recommendation. And this is done on a daily basis by the combined staff.
Yeah, another question, Mr. Chairman. Do you sort of set the number, a figure before, and when you reach that number of escapement over certain dams, then that's all there is to it.
We make estimates, Representative Jones, prior to the season based on age analyses and previous years, so a variety of indicators, again, that we get some idea what we think the run strength will be. We do our test fishery and get some more information, and we watch the dam counts. And we do not allow fisheries in until we are pretty well assured we're near target. Now, this particular year, the run is really not that big a run. I think the total run will come something in the area of 140,000 fish, which is not a big run. We'd hope for about 180. But because of the very low water conditions and the excellent passage, we're getting a lot of fish to escapement. So this does allow for a sport catch, which we allowed to go in on the 11th of April, and they had a good season. They'll catch around 13,000 fish. Plus that which caught in Idaho, they'll catch another 7,000 to 9,000 up there. So we'll have an excellent sport catch this year.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could pursue this just a little, it seems to me like we heard testimony this morning, a little different than this, some way, about a vote with the Oregon Fish Commission, or Oregon Wildlife Commission, and so on. And I'd just like to get it straightened out in my mind, just as what went on, because at that time,
This
was very plain that if Idaho had been a voting member of that particular issue and had voted with Oregon, then we wouldn't have done so and so. And I guess I don't remember exactly what.
We're getting some news release here. I don't know.
What can we give us?
0297 Portland.
Yay! Good.
Deal.
Three of
them. They come through
good.
Hard again.
They
come
back, don't they? Well, that just about sells it out, isn't it?
The thing that came up, Jack, was...
Okay, I don't know what was said or what... Let me try to... If I can straighten you out, I'd be very happy to.
The statements were made here about the fact as the guy representing what the heck's his name?
Markovich.
Yes, Senator Governor.
Okay, he had the concern that with all of the problems that were involved with the when the fish, well, they had first of all. The biologist and the people from your department had recommended, and their statement was that they open on the 2nd of May, and that there was a disagreement. And am I correct now on this? 2nd of May, was that the date?
I don't think so.
All right, but the commission, the Oregon commission, opposed that. And then in the meeting, which was a lengthy one in Portland, I believe it was going on the same day that we were doing all of our running around up there. Then at that time, it was a discussion. I guess the next one was on the telephone conversation. But it was opposition even by the Oregon Commission at that time to open it on the 8th. Now, this is a story we got today. And had it not been, and their story was, that had it not been for the fact that Washington people up there were pushing for the opening of the season on the 8th, they believe that there would not have been a season. And they laid the blame on especially a couple of the commissioners, the members of the commission. And this is the thing that really held up the thing today, because their contention was, had Idaho been involved in this at that time, then with Idaho's concern about letting the fish come up, and Oregon's commission saying, no, we don't want to open it, then they would have overridden the state of Washington. Well, now, I think I heard you say something else here that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but once you've got the fish count above the dams, the fish have already, and you've got them up there, then does Idaho still have a vote once the fish is What do we have then? They still have a vote down here and must decide on the last trustee's fish?
Yeah, on that fisheries, they would have a vote because these fish are destined for the Snake River. The fact this year that we have good escapement and passage conditions is a little unique. Normally, we get a run that's much later than this. The run is very early this year, by the way, because of good passage. And they would be making these decisions a little differently than this year. And Idaho would definitely have a vote in the deliberations of the escapement and the catch levels to be considered. Now, the activities of the compact over the last few weeks was that on the day that we flew to Newport and you were in our office and the compact was going on was to delay the decision until the 5th. This was the staff recommendation. There was no staff recommendation ever to open the season on the 2nd. That may have been a recommendation of the gill netters. That's quite possible. But our staff recommendation was to go from the 8th to the 13th.
Wasn't that the recommendation of the Washington State staff?
No, our staffs have been joint on this at all times. We've not differed with the state of Washington on our staff recommendations. They weren't identical.
We had an erroneous report then.
The only one we've differed on was on the winter season on the Cowlitz Willamette fisheries, and we split on that one for a while. But the staff recommendation has always been for a 5-day season commencing the 8th to the 13th. The decision was delayed pending more information, and we delayed that decision until the 5th, and then it was made to open. To establish the season, but to review it on the 10th, which was the day, which we did, and the vote was unanimous from the state of Oregon, an agreement with the state of Washington seconding the motion that the season be allowed to run until its terminus.
Well, Representative
Jim, I'm very lost. Is Bob Stein, isn't he your man?
He's our wildlife expert, yes.
He was here. I don't remember whether he got into
I doubt he would speak on this because he wasn't at either of these meetings and he's not familiar with this issue in the fisheries. It's not his area.
I would like to get it straightened out though.
I'm extremely confused at this point because
I think it's really important that maybe it should be spelled out in here what Idaho has a part in.
I think it is.
Yes, it's spelled out very clearly. We can read it.
I'm not sure that I'm sure I've read it, that Idaho will vote only on those regulations that might have substantial impact on spring chinook, salmon, summer chinook, and so on. That the runs are destined for Idaho, but they can say, well, we want them all to get to Idaho. So you never would have a commercial fish.
Okay, we've got two votes down here.
Yeah, right, and it's the, of course, I think part of the problem is that people are viewing our particular commission now as having a bias one way or the other. Whether this is true or not is a matter of debate. condition I hope will always exist, and I know it will as long as I'm the director, that the staffs will recommend the optimum use of that resource.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Now, we can't dictate what a commission does, and that's something different.
That's what a problem. In fact, this morning, it was pretty well emphasized that, and I even emphasized it myself, that it's rather ridiculous when we have the qualified people that we have there who make the recommendations, and then if the commission doesn't at least pretty much, basically go along with it. Certainly, there's going to be times when. And they're not satisfied with staff report.
Truly. No, we're not trying to whitewash to have the commission whitewash a staff report because this is their purpose is to set policy and set the regulations for the department.
So to oversee and make
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're not saying, and I'm certainly not, there would be no use to have them if they were going to just rubber stamp.
Absolutely.
The recommendation, so.
It is a fact that the state of Idaho would have a say in this thing, and whether that would have changed the outcome of that or not, our commission did vote for a five-day season, and after a great deal of deliberation, primarily on there were 10 separate motions that were made relative to that compact setting, and a variety of, at no time was there to be no gillnet season. It was a matter of how long, where, and how many fish would be caught. That was the deliberation.
That was, that isn't the kind of words we were getting this morning. Sure, sorry that we didn't have,
We can certainly prepare some more information if you want to review this on a subsequent.
Better get everybody together in the same room at the same time.
Yeah, we're going to have to. The thing is, you see, after our meeting in Portland, then Senator Talley called me, and after he'd been quite obstinate, as you were
aware. Yes, I understand he was.
When I talked to him then, he seemed to be okay on this. And the next, he called me the following Tuesday morning, and just as he said he would. And he apparently discussed it, and I don't know if he talked to Governor Ray or who all he talked to, but anyway, when he called back, he said, I haven't talked to Senator Peterson yet. Some that he hadn't done, but he said, I don't see anything wrong with the compact. I don't see anything wrong with it. So somebody may have gotten to him. Well, I thought we had clear sailing.
Yes.
Until this morning, and then, you know, I guess that's what you get for thinking. But at least now we've got a problem in getting some of these things clarified, because obviously the individual who was giving this information to us was at least somewhat misinformed. There was a unanimous vote then by the commission from Oregon. Then when they went ahead and established the 5th as the beginning of that.
The 8th? I'm trying to recall, it was near unanimous, if not one dissenting vote. I think I can't remember the final vote, but the day it was unanimous.
I guess, Jack, maybe we'd like to see copies of the minutes of that meeting.
Surely. You bet.
I think maybe that would help us if we could see those minutes. Because certainly, you know, there's conflicting stories here, and I think that for other members of the committee, that we're going to need those minutes and so that they can be shown. Because I know that this is going to come as a surprise to three other members, what your shortcomings tonight.
That game's over, and the other members will be here pretty soon.
I don't really think so. I don't think they think we're still here either.
I have to go to the parking lot.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
What, in your survey today, are the commercial fishermen, what are they catching, or are they catching a...
We've estimated they've caught 3,600 fish in the first 48-hour period. Probably that will go between 7,000 and 8,000 fish total max before the season. We estimated 8,000 to 10,000 when we set this season. I doubt they'll catch the minimum at this present time. So we'll come up short in the non treaty allocation.
Well, that's, I think you said that the Indians are going to come 40-some percent.
Yeah, they'll go over their percentage, right? They've caught 17,000 fish. So of the I think roughly 40,000 allotable fish. With 13,000 caught by the sportsman, R8, in addition, on our commercial season with our sports season, will not total the 60% we were allotted. Mm-hmm. But that's not the Indians' fault. That's our fault for management. We can't hit them all the time. We'll have to balance this out in a 5-year period, and that's awfully damn close.
Yeah, that's right. You know you're not going to be able to. Say one for you, one for you.
No, it doesn't work that way. It's very difficult to do. And again, our position as a staff is to optimize that catch. And it's not to give it to the sportsman or to the commercial people, but it's to optimize the catch. And in some cases, that means more for the sportsman, less for the commercial. Other cases, more for the commercial and less for the sportsman. It depends on the runs. And this is what I really hope we can get together with and get these discussions going to solve these problems on a foreign allocation formula that we come in each year and saying, here's the percentage of this group, here's the percentage of that group. It's just a matter of how many fish you have. And then these things will be very simple, at least a great deal more simple than they are now. Mm-hmm. I can stop all this biggering and posturing and showmanship at times of compact hearings, which is really disastrous.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, I'd like to commend the staff and you, John. I think you're doing a great job. It's just that we don't seem to get all the details we need here about exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
As far as this compact's concerned, I want to see Idaho get what they're entitled to, but I don't want them to get a selfish attitude towards the fishery in the lower Columbia. And I can see a possibility if they're going to vote on it that they could, in one side or the other, Oregon and Washington don't want it, then they're just not going to have it. That's all it's going to be.
Well, it would certainly be the responsibility of the states of Washington and Oregon to protect their full resource and the full utilization by the user groups, and that includes sportsmen as well as commercial people. The other thing that we get out of this is we get this divisionary approach to the resource, where Idaho sits up there and is, you see them right now, sitting there smugly waiting to take us to court and get their fish. And for God's sakes, we don't want to go back into court to manage fisheries. And if you've got them in, you make them accountable, and then we go out back and say, hey, we need some money to get some more fish.
That was my reason for asking you if you set the amount ahead of time, and they agree on the amount. If those fish escape, then they shouldn't have any hauler coming. They got what they agreed on to start with.
Yeah, I think that's
exactly what we're looking at here. It's an allocation formula that sets that in advance.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I was kind of trying to get at here a little bit ago. I didn't do a very good job of getting it in there. But.
No, this is what we already have the mechanism set up and underway right now. We have hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll have this agreement. And it's signed off on by the three states. Maybe the compact then is moot. I don't know.
Then that's my point. If they agree to that and get that amount, then they really shouldn't have any say in Oregon, Washington setting the balance of the season down here for the commercial fish. It's kind of what I'm saying.
That's right. It would be the same thing like with the Indians, you see. Uh-huh. The Indians will not be a part of how we allocate our fish, nor are we a part of how they allocate theirs.
Same deal. And
they got 40%.
I can support this compact if there's something like that.
This is where we're trying to go, and it's where it has to go.
Yeah.
We can't sit there and fight over the compact meetings. Yeah. The compact meetings should be a very perfunctory activity, really saying, how many fish are there, here's the formula, assign the fish, and adjourn the meeting. That's the way it's got to function.
Well, that's we're back to where I thought the thing was all about.
Now we got some hard knocks negotiating before we come to that point. But I'm firmly convinced. My staff is convinced, and from what I hear, the user groups. I hope that the sportsmen and I hope that the guildmen are still intent upon doing this because it's in their best interest to accomplish this. Because otherwise, you're going to fight till fish are gone.
Yeah, who's going to get that last fish?
Yeah.
Okay, Jack. Is there anything else? Any other questions? Dr. Donaldson, I want to be real formal here today.
Gee, don't do that.
Okay, Jack.
I have to be in Olympia at 8 o'clock in the morning to testify before the Washington Senate Natural Resources Committee. Peterson's group on the allocation issue, not on the compact, by the way.
Okay,
they have a billion.
I
was going to ask you if you need something.
Talk to Lowell Peterson, and if you get a chance, talk to John Martinez.
I've talked with John last week at the council meetings at some length, and he gave me some story about it bogged down because of some rules problems, and I don't understand what he's talking about. I don't know what that meant.
Oh, Christ. But I think, we've been of the opinion that they were looking for something that.
Yeah.
And I was sure of Senator Talley that day in Portland. In fact, as I told everybody, everyone we finally went ahead and said, well, we would delete Section 3 if it would make him feel better. And I said, well, as soon as we do that, he'll find something else wrong, and exactly what he did.
Uh-huh.
But somebody talked to him, apparently, in the next couple of days there, because
But I think that they're trying to get out of it, and it's kind of obvious that we have some people here when we're getting the kind of story that, on one hand, that we got here today, and then you're telling us.
Well, again, I don't know what the story was. I'm merely telling you what I heard and saw.
Well,
and
okay,
we need to get together and reconcile these. I think we absolutely must, because the public forum is no place to air our dirty laundry.
Well, the story we were getting is all essentially what I was saying, that the recommendation had been for the second, to start a fish on the second, and to go through this would give the guys a better chance to get their numbers.
That was not the staff recommendation. Staff recommendation has never been different than the 8th and the 13th.
All right, that's right there is the one real difference, and I think the tape will show if we want to go back and the tape back. That is what was said today. And Forrest is nodding his head. He heard the same thing. Henry was off goofing off somewhere, and he didn't hear it. But
that may have well been a recommendation from one of the other groups, and that could have been if the governors recommended the second, that could have been their recommendation. But I assure you, the staff recommendation was the 8th.
They were talking about the biologists. They were talking about the people, the expertise, or in the department, and I know I'm positive I'm right on that, and so this is quite a difference. And so if we have the minutes, then at that meeting, so that we can show the members who are off having a good time, those minutes, I think it'll be it's absolutely imperative that we have them, I believe. Anything else, Jack? And have fun on your sleepy way to
they'll pick me up in the airport. At their expense, I'm going out there. I'm trying to help them on that allocation issue. You know, they cannot allocate in the state of Washington their fisheries, and this makes it very difficult for us to manage offshore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we can't jointly manage the offshore fisheries, because every time we set a regulation, there are people taking them to court and say you can't allocate, and that's ridiculous. If you can't allocate through management, you can't manage.
You can't manage very well.
And so that's what I'll speak to tomorrow.
Good.
Frank Hawes asked me up to help him.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm sorry you had to sit here half the night to do it.
Listen about people in their dairy.
You didn't have any confession about milking cows or anything, did you?
No, I didn't. I just left your farmers up there.
I bet you milked a few fish, though.
Oh, I've done a lot of that.
Okay, first, would you like to talk on this compact? You or your...
We both had work prepared.
Cohort. You want to come up together? Keep each other company?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Henry Pavlik of Albany, Oregon, and I'm speaking for the Northwest Fisheries Council of Trout Unlimited. I must apologize to the committee. I did not have time to reproduce my material, but I will leave it with the clerk. We urge this committee to take speedy action in correcting a serious problem that has existed for many years. We ask that you ask favorably on Senate Bill 92 and pass it out of committee without any amendments, with the exception of that portion below the bottom line that applies to Oregon. There is a portion of that section below the line that needs to be removed, as will be indicated by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. It is our understanding that the fisheries agencies and key legislatures of the three states have agreed upon the version that is before you. Let's accept their proposal. The wording of the compact portion of the bills passed by the three states must be identical if it is to be ratified by Congress. It's our understanding that every word has to be alike. Any attempts to amend the compact portion of the bill will make it unacceptable. We see absolutely no reason for amending it. We believe that if the energies and the monies used in fighting over this issue would have been expended in improving the resources, we would all be better off. You have the power in your hands to change the situation. We hope you will exercise it. By our unwillingness to let Idaho into the existing compact for these many years, we have driven that state into the courts. to seek those rights that are due the residents of that state. If we don't let Idaho into the compact soon, they may gain a lot more through the Supreme Court case, such as an allocation of fish, in addition to gaining admission to the compact. It is far better that we achieve this through a friendly spirit of cooperation rather than through the bitterness of a court battle. Basically, the compact is not a user issue. It goes far beyond that. Among other things, it gives Idaho status in the compact. We urge everyone to forget past history. That is, quitter fighting as nothing is ever gained from fighting a fruitless battle. Let us move into a new era and seek that unified cooperation that we so desperately need between the states of Oregon, Washington, and Idaho in managing the fishery resources of the mighty Columbia River for the benefit of all the residents of the three states. Idaho does produce many excellent fish that utilize the Columbia River as their migration route to and from the sea. They are fished upon in the ocean by other states and other countries, as well as in the river by Oregon and Washington. Idaho gets the last chance to fish for them if there are enough returning fish to permit them to do so. They have not been able to fish for them for a number of years. Is this equity and justice? There is nothing to fear from letting Idaho into the compact. It would still be outnumbered by Oregon and Washington on the basis of a 2-to-1 vote. In addition, Idaho is only interested in and would only have a vote on those fish originating from and destined for Idaho waters. There is so much that can be done to improve the fishery for everyone. All that we need are the tools that will provide us with a good and equitable basis for active participation and cooperation on the part of all three states. We sincerely believe that Senate Bill 92 is that tool. The new compact will lead to the development of a comprehensive fishery management plan for the entire Columbia River, which we desperately need. The development of this unified comprehensive plan is particularly important at this point in time due to the passage of the Water Resources Development Act of 1976 during the last session of Congress. This act provides for $58 million of Corps of Engineers mitigation funds for the enhancement of the fish resources of the Columbia River. Among other things, it provides for the construction of fish hatcheries in each of the three states. We would sincerely appreciate your rapid action on this bill with a due pass recommendation. We thank you for permitting us to testify. I would like to comment on a statement, Mr. Chairman, that was made earlier relative to a specific user group. There seems to be a tendency among the user groups to blame the commission because they don't get exactly what they want. In other words, the sportsmen are blaming the commission for taking action that is contrary to their desires. You're seeing the thing on the opposite side where the commercial people are saying, well, the commission is favoring the sportsmen and not the commercial fishery.
Well, they got both of them picking at them, they must be doing something right. Okay, any questions to Henry? Okay, thank you, Henry. First?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Forrest Moret for Save Oregon's Resources Today, Incorporated, and I find this to be a very broad-based popular issue. I've been asked to speak on the subject to include in my statement the approval of the Isaac Walton League, the Jefferson County Rod and Gun Club, of which I'm a member, the Powder River Sportsman Club, of which I'm a member, Central Oregon Sportsman Association, with whom I'm closely associated, and a couple of others. I also like to clarify just a little bit. I attend virtually all of the, monitor virtually all of the pertinent compact hearings, and I know what goes on as
staff did not at any time recommend an opening of any season prior for the Lower River Commercial Fishery prior to the 8th. Jack Marinkovich did. Before the microphone, and I'm speaking here to this committee now.
He made the recommendation at that compact meeting?
That's right.
Okay.
I'll stand on a stack of Bibles on that. The material I presented to you, I had a little help assembling it, and I stapled it on the wrong side. I intended it to open like a book.
Yes, sir. It opens like a left hand.
Opens backwards. Note that the one dated 5/10/77, which is today, explains that the material was already presented to the Senate as the Natural Resources Committee. And I think some of you may already have a copy of it. I will begin on the one dated February 1. On the second paragraph, the other one irrelevant, the first paragraph irrelevant at the moment. Mm-hmm. Everyone should know that the finest steelhead and salmon are those headed the farthest upstream because they must be in the best condition to make it. And we should also note that area of origin of these fish is at least as important a part of their development as our main trunk and estuary waters of the Pacific Ocean. We can't have the fish, in other words, without both the place they hatch and the place that they feed and roost and they work. The moral justice in giving Idaho a voice in the management of fish originating in that state is so obvious. It's so obvious and will be so well covered that I will speak mainly of the advantages to Oregon and Washington in giving that voice. Some of the runs headed to Idaho are already getting nearly complete protection in the Columbia. Now this, of course, was written before we had a sport and commercial season and hadn't had one in 3 years. None of them are being fished in Idaho, and they will be fished some this year. Getting Idaho a vote isn't really going to make much difference in the harvest, and admitting Idaho into compact is not going to magically produce fish for sportsmen in Idaho or for northeastern Oregon or even for adequate spawning in those areas. All these things will come only with time and hard work. Now, I think at this point it's also well to point out that we're not getting jacks over this. The jacks are the three-year fish. The count on jacks over the dam is very, very low, 5,000 or something, indicating a very poor run next year. So it isn't likely that either sportsmen or commercial fishermen, Indians or anybody else, will have a commercial season on the main stem Columbia or in Idaho or any of those places next year. Because the lack of jacks indicate a very poor return of four-year-old fish next year. And the spring Chinook is primarily a four-year fish. The greatest immediate effect in giving Idaho a vote in the compact would be the resulting boost in the morale of all the upper river fishermen and renewal of their fading resolve to stay in the fight to restock their waters. It has been a very depressing blow for them to simply be counted out. And many sportsmen in northeastern Oregon, as well as Idaho, are beginning to advocate turning their hatchery effort to resident trout to produce fish for downriver and ocean fishermen who do not even appreciate it enough to allow their turn of minimal broodstock must be indeed discouraging. And everyone knows we are suffering from drought, and some may not know that desert country rivers like the Deschutes, for example, and many others east of the Cascades receive most of their water from springs after it has spent a year trickling down through the mountains. The soil mantle on those mountains is now so dry that it will take many months of normal precipitation to allow any to trickle down or run off. And only a sustained and miraculous wet year can prevent us from having not one, but two years of record low flows, even lower than in 1973, that cost us 95% of our downstream migrants, because nearly all the water went through the turbot, and the fish went with it. That loss gave us record low returns in 75 and 6. Now, on the opposite side of that sheet, in the meantime, the National Marine Fisheries Service has proven that they can trap the juveniles and haul them around the dam with reasonable success. Their performance in this crisis will possibly be limited by the size of their appropriation. Here again, morale is important, and we need the help not only of Idaho, but of northeastern Oregon and southeastern Washington in seeing that the funds match the emergency. On the other, one other thing, Idaho has been forced to take us to court to gain fair consideration in these matters. This is the third straight season or session in which Oregon's legislature has considered bills virtually identical with current SB 92. Now, and bear in mind again that this was a February 1, written on February 1 before the agreement to limit Idaho to vote on the three runs of fish that go up there, and we approve of those. Surely we are familiar enough with this one to demonstrate our good faith, and not only to our good neighbor Idaho, but to the United States Supreme Court, by passing this one in a hurry. The court might otherwise grant Idaho a lot more than SB 92. Do we really want more allocation by the courts? If so, we can likely get it by amending SB 92 in a manner that would make it unacceptable to Idaho. And please let us make our position clear by expediting this bill on an emergency basis without amendment, so that courts in the states of Idaho and Washington may know where we stand. Now, after that, I wrote, after a hearing in which the committee seemed to be giving this bill at that time a rough time, although they eventually passed it unanimously, I wrote on February 10th, the old-timers used to tell of beating tributary waters with a branch to chase the spawning fish away so that horses would not be so frightened that they would not ford the streams. And I lived and fished in Idaho 40 years ago and have seen fish that thick in some of their streams. The enormity of their loss may be more apparent to me than to some others. The people of Idaho have seen their fishery decline to a point where they cannot properly stock their hatcheries, and they do have an advisory seat only on the Columbia River Compact. But to this regular observer of the Compact hearings, it appears that their recommendations have no more, if as much, weight as my own. They have absolutely no voice in the management policies that have over-harvested the fish they produce. Everyone just keeps on taking the fish and telling Idaho that it's not the harvest, but the dam. If in one of the worst moments of their years of frustration they said they would get someone else off the river, which Governor Andrus did at one time say, maybe we should recall that they have been virtually forced off their own water, and there's been left no fish to harvest. I note with sadness the desire to punish Idaho for their frustrated reactions, and I do not believe that punishing them further is going to improve their disposition, since we've been doing it for half a lifetime with less than favorable results. We might, in fact, reinforce their case in court as well as their resolve. I call upon the Oregon legislature to reawaken the greatness that I see within it by welcoming Idaho to the controlling body in matters pertinent to their fisheries. Let us hasten to enact SB 92, and let us also remember that amendments, here again we agree to those regarding those three runs of fish, are tantamount to killing the bill, and Oregon sportsmen are going to feel pretty badly let down if it does not pass quickly and in its original form. Now, we also approve of your removing Section 3 on page 3 of the bill. And I want to reinforce reinforce a little bit what Henry said there about, you know, sportsmen have a very considerable investment in this fishery, a whole lot more than that lower river commercial fishery. We think we entitled some consideration. In 1976, we took one fish in 19. Very slightly more than 5% of the fish that were harvested in that river. And we paid for nearly 55% of it. And we think our interest should be considered. And this year, with the improved stock and return of the upriver fish and our having fished on them, we will get less than 10% of the fish harvested in the river. And of course, Oregon sportsmen don't get any of those harvested outside. We are subsidizing all the other users, including Washington sportsmen, Canadian, Alaska, whatever offshore fishery there is. And we are not very happy with the commission having voted this recent commercial season.
Tommy? Forrest, both you and Henry inferred in your testimony that you think that Idaho is going to pursue their, will file a suit in the Supreme Court.
It's filed. They have a suit filed.
You bet. They're in.
As I understand that litigation, again, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really speak to it with expertise, but as I understand, the Supreme Court gave them standing. They can file over this. Has the suit has been filed?
Yeah.
Okay.
They are pursuing. They said flatly that they couldn't wait any longer for this.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be happy to have it, but they don't have confidence.
Well, the thing, see, that was the thing that even in the beginning that I questioned when we, the first invitation that we had extended to Idaho to come over here, they didn't appear. And of course, my fear was, the reason they weren't showing was because they thought they might put their suit in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be whatever it was, but at least then the meeting that they had in the Senate over there, they did send a representative down, and the assistant the governor was here, and also, I can't think of his name from...
Joe Green.
And I think they had someone else. There were three people came over that day, if I remember. Anyway, then in our last meeting in Portland, and they had two members here. I had members of the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
Vard Chapman that holds the same chairmanship as comparative to mine who were here, at least. And the other gentleman, I'd never met him before. But at least they were over here when we met and the shoe put off to Newport and all. But anyway, they're sitting down, and they were, I think they were very well pleased with the progress that was being made. And they're not in session, but they feel that they probably will be back in the special session. And if they are, why, if we've done something on this, I'm sure they would take action right away. And they would put that on the list when the governor calls them in. They specify, but they would surely have it on the list. So Washington, if we can pass this, at least if we can resolve these problems that seem to be the hang-ups here, and we pass it, we've shown good faith. And at that point, I think it would make a considerable amount of difference as far as this lawsuit's concerned.
I thank you for that, Mr.
I would. Can I pursue this just one step further?
Sure, Tom.
Now, I'm sure you're well aware, Forrest, of the allocation agreement that the states of Washington and Oregon and the treaty tribes and Judge Baloney have signed relating to fish in the Columbia River.
second priority in the spring Chinook run after the 2,000 fish for the Indian ceremonial subsistence catch is 40,000 fish, 40,000 fish over the uppermost dam on the Snake River for a sport fishery in Idaho.
Correct. Only 1,500 fish are allocated for Idaho sports. I don't know where all this comes
from. I'm sure it's not 40,000, I'm sure it's not 1,500.
Yeah, 40,000 fish, but not for sportsmen. The rest are for spawning.
Escape, right.
Okay.
But
don't count the spawning fish as Idaho's share.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm just trying to say, you said in your testimony that a tri-state compact wouldn't change the harvest much, but would be good for Idaho's morale. And how about this agreement that the states of Oregon and Washington and the treaty tribes have signed? How does that affect Idaho's morale?
Well, bear in mind that...
just a hypothetical question.
That this doesn't mean very much if... Now, we just will give our version of this thing. First, the staff recommended or predicted 180,000 fish. And then they said 160,000 fish. And I monitored all these hearings and spoke at all of them. Then they said 160,000 fish. Okay. And then they said if there were 160,000, there would be 30,000 for the Indians and 20,000 for the non-Indian gill netters. After the projected sports take. Well, the run is turning out to be 140,000 fish, and they're still giving those other two figures. Now, actually, the Indian didn't quite get that many. The gill netter isn't going to get that many. But they had said that if they didn't get 160,000, that there shouldn't be a share for the gill netter. And they stayed with that until they knew there was going to be down, the run was going to be down to 140,000, and then we had still had a commercial season. And I don't think the gill netter had been slighted in this thing. Nor I don't think anybody intended to slight it. I really feel the other way around, and I set to all of it.
Well,
I don't know that, but I made notes.
We had
who voted which.
We had just one last question.
Yeah, because I can tell you, the chairman has got to be back at 8 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead, let's hear it. But
the bottom line of all this is we had testimony from Jack Murkowicz today, and he thinks if Idaho is let in, notwithstanding agreements for escapement goals, that the allocation, when it gets down to voting for allocation of these runs, that the vote will be 2-1, Idaho and the Oregon Commission against the Washington Commission. And they're to the detriment of the commercial fishery on the Columbia River. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, first place, I think that the fall fishery, which is about 95%.
Idaho can't vote on the fall fishery.
That's right. That's about 95% of the gill netter's catch, and Idaho has no vote in it. And I don't think that very much of their real honest interest is involved. It's only the spring fishery which...
In other words, you're
they haven't
my
had
question,
a season
yeah.
in 2 years anyway, except the Willamette fishery, and they're really hollering louder than they're hurt.
All right.
I just have to say that I personally take it as a personal affront, and I anybody that comes before this committee and testifies and makes a statement that Mr. Nerinkovich did, I don't appreciate it. And because he certainly did not make a true statement.
I'm sure would be pleased to have you go through with your thing you mentioned there about getting that tape, because my comments and his will all be there, and so will the staff.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. I hope there's no one else has anything to say.
Gloria, where are you going? This isn't adjourned yet.
what the committee would like to talk about.
Probably turn it